But as I promised you, I'm joined right now by somebody who represents, among others, MLB Network, Fox Sports, Sports Illustrated. He is a winner of three straight National Sports Writer of the Year awards, first person ever to win an Emmy Award as both a studio analyst and a reporter, a New York Times bestselling author, a member of the National Sports Media Association Hall of Fame, Class of 2020. Highly pedigreed, he is Tom Verducci. Tom, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. How are you?
Great. It's good to have you, Tom. Thanks for making time. Always look forward to it. You've got a great piece in Sports Illustrated on Shohei Ohtani up right now. I want to ask you, when you first started to think about the piece and observing him throughout the season, what were the types of questions you had personally that you were looking to answer?
The biggest thing for me, Jim, was how is this even possible? How is he doing it? From a logistical point of view, planning point of view, physical point of view. I mean, it's crazy that anybody even tries to do what he's doing, being a true two-way player. But to be able to do it at his level and now doing it 6 months into a full season, that's what I wanted to get at. Because I know we use Babe Ruth as a comp, and Ruth actually only did it as a full-time two-way player for like three and a half months in the 18 and 19 seasons. So that's what I wanted to get at, and the bonus for me was figuring out that this guy is doing it for one reason only. He just loves baseball. This is what he loves to do. And so for all the people who say, man, I wonder what he'd be like if he just specialized as a pitcher, or man, what if he just hit? How good would he be? I think we're seeing the best of Ohtani because he is doing both.
Yeah, I was going to say that. In fact, you answered that question. I was going to say that there's always that focus, Tom, on like, well, yeah, if the guy just did one thing, imagine how great he'd be. But the fact of the matter is he's doing both because he loves the game so much. I thought that A.J. Hinch had a great, great quote when he told you, quote, to see it in person is something I'll always remember, end of quote. He then praised his pitching and his power and said, quote, I'm mostly amazed at the ease that he plays with. He doesn't try too hard or give the impression that he's stressed physically or mentally, end of quote. I mean, it's like, not only is he doing the impossible, Tom, he's making it look easy. How is it possible that somebody of his size can make something so hard look so simple?
Well, you start with desire, right? As I said, this is his passion. So all this is coming from the heart. Remember, he jumped to the big leagues a year ahead of when he could have been a totally unrestricted international free agent, like put him on the market with no cap on what he could earn. So he gave up literally a couple hundred mil to come to the major leagues a year earlier than he did. Start with that. Now look at him physically, right? The comp I use is not a baseball player. It's Michael Phelps. You know, he's long, he's lean. He's got the broad shoulders, thin waist, the long levers, which is great for both pitching and hitting. But he's also like freakishly flexible. I mean, there's pictures of him where he can do things with his shoulder joints and elbows that, I mean, it hurts looking at it. But the way his body moves through space is just so fluid because he is so flexible and he is long and lean. So he's perfectly conditioned. He's got the right attitude. And besides that, he's a baseball junkie. This guy, he lives and breathes baseball. You know, you sometimes wonder, like, what else does he do? Because he's totally invested into the game of baseball.
Is there an answer? Like, what else does he do? Anything?
Like a lot of people his age, he plays video games.
Right.
And that's pretty much it, really. I mean, when you talk to the Angels staff and those people there, you know, you'll see in the course of the game, he's on those tablets a lot, trying to learn more about the other team's pitcher. Let me get something straight here. He does have fun doing it. It's not like he's just totally locked in as a baseball nerd and that's everything. You know, he's a joy to be around. And I think when you think about how he's able to do it physically, Jim, I go back to something the pitching coach Matt Wise told me, that he throws the ball pretty. You know, he told his 13-year-old son, listen, if you can emulate a way to throw a baseball, watch Ohtani do what he does. So he's a template for a lot of things, but for me, it's kind of an old school template where he's playing the little league version of baseball where you get to do everything. And you do it with a smile on your face.
Incredible. Tom Verducci is joining us. So, as you write, in terms of power and stolen bases, he's having a season that is in the league of guys like Willie Mays, Mike Schmidt, Jose Canseco, Alex Rodriguez. And then at the same time, he's on pace to become the ninth pitcher in history to strike out at least 10 batters per nine innings with a winning percentage of at least 8, 10, over 20 starts or more. I mean, there's so many different ways to measure his greatness. Do you have a particular stat or anecdote that we haven't discussed that's your favorite?
Well, I think in a sense, I would say this guy throws the hardest pitch to hit in baseball. That's a split-fingered fastball, right? Batters are hitting 0-67 against that one pitch. Yesterday, the A's went 0-19. So it is the singular most difficult pitch to hit in baseball. That alone makes him an elite pitcher. But yet the same guy who throws the most difficult pitch to hit in baseball has 44 home runs, 23 stolen bases, and oh, by the way, managers have intentionally walked him more than anybody else in baseball. Now, there's only two other hitters you could say that about in the course of baseball history, and that's Bonds and Griffey. So, I mean, the company that he's putting himself in, I know we use Babe Ruth as the comp in terms of, you know, doing both in one season, but you really have to break it down individually and compare him pitcher to pitcher and hitter to hitter, and he compares with some of the best in the game's history. And it's a shame that, you know, he's not surrounded by a healthy Mike Trout and a healthy Anthony Rendon, where pitchers do have to pitch to him. Because, you know, he's second in baseball and seeing the fewest fastballs in the strike zone. So he could be even better, I believe, if he was surrounded by a healthy Angels lineup.
Right, Tom. So to that point, like, the team has not reached the postseason since 2014. The streak is unlikely to end this year. How important is it for the sport overall for the Angels to reach the postseason at some point with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani?
Well, let's start with the Angels, right? I mean, there's no rebuilding if you're Artie Moreno. You've got Trout on his contract. Mike turned 30 this year. He's had trouble staying healthy the last couple of years. I don't want to say his window is closing. I mean, he's too good of a player. But you start to hear the clock on the prime of Mike Trout, at least. And the contract at Rendon, making him the most expensive third baseman in baseball history. You're all in if you're Artie Moreno. So you have to keep throwing money at this team. And now you've got Ohtani, and you can't waste this generational talent. Actually, he's once-in-a-century kind of talent. So you have to get in it, whether it's for a Max Scherzer. They tried briefly for Cole last year. You have to go get pitching to support those guys. And as far as Major League Baseball goes, I truly believe that the stars of baseball don't become crossover, you know, multi-generational, multi-sport, you know, attractions unless you get to the postseason and really probably the World Series as well, right? Derek Jeter goes in the Hall of Fame. That's because, you know, he's good, A, but B, he grew up on our television screen every fall, you know, playing in the World Series. Ohtani and Trout, we don't see them in the postseason. And to be a true major league star, and I think Ohtani represents really everything that's great about baseball. I think he is a fantastic role model for the game. Obviously, he's important to baseball's finances because he's an international star. But you need to see him play in the postseason before he truly can be the face of baseball, which I think he can. But baseball is a little bit different, where team success really matters if you're going to be a true superstar.
Absolutely. He needs that help. So final thought, Tom, in terms of individual talent and upside, you mentioned that he's a once-in-a-generational player, a once-in-a-century kind of player. If he is able to stay healthy, what is his ceiling, or maybe is there no ceiling?
Yeah, I wouldn't put much past him. I think in terms of pitching, you're probably looking at the ceiling, because I don't think you can pitch him every fifth day. So he's not going to rack up 200 innings, 300 strikeouts. That's just asking too much. He was conditioned to throw, you know, once a week. That's what he will do. But offensively, I do think there's more in the tank. And again, it all gets back to me with supporting him, so that, you know, if you're Bob Melvin in the other dugout, whoever the manager is, you're saying, there's no way I'm letting this guy beat me. We're just going to pitch around him in any kind of a situation that's even somewhat meaningful. Take that away, give him more passes and pitches in the strike zone, and I think you're looking at a guy who can hit 50-plus home runs or even more than that. I think the batting average will be higher, and obviously with guys on bases, RBIs are going to go up. So I think his offensive upside is he has not scratched the surface yet. There is more in the tank there for Ohtani. But pitching-wise, not that this is anything bad, because he punches out 10.5 batters per 9 innings, but I think you're seeing him at his top in terms of what he can do on the mound.
I'm not going to ask you more of what I'm already getting from the guy, Tom, but hey, you know he's a great base runner, too. Can you imagine this guy going like 40-40 on top of all this? Not that I would make that a priority,
but... I would not put that past him. I think sometimes they pulling the reins in on Shohei, but yeah, I mean, he's got the fastest time from home to first base. He can almost take a bag when he wants. So that would definitely be in the wheelhouse when you're talking 40-40.
That's an amazing stat, Austin. We didn't even get into that, that he's got the fastest time or second fastest time from home to first base as well at that size. I mean, we could go on and on and on. It's a really good piece. You should read it. It's in Sports Illustrated. It's on Shohei Ohtani. Of course, Tom Verducci wrote it. MLB Network, Fox Sports, Sports Illustrated. Tom, great to have you back. Always appreciate you and the relationship. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, always great, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Great talking to you. Much respect. 1-800-636-8686. Back-to-back analysts that are two of the very best. As an example, first of all, Tom Verducci is as good as anybody at what he does. He is so good. So good. Charles Davis as well. Matt Mikla tweets, dude, Charles Davis knows his bleep. Detailed breakdown on any team you throw at him. Respect.